Would you say this is an income that is significantly better than what you did before as a teacher?
Not in the first year, not in the first 2 years as I was growing it. The first year I broke even, second year I made a little bit, but each year of the 6 years I've made 25% more than the previous year. Mm. And now I'm making at least double what I make as actually a high school principal. I was at my last year, so I make double that now. Mm. So yeah, it's not only is it lucrative, but the potential earning is what's exciting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of creators will always tell you their best month they've ever earned and like, oh yeah, that's my normal.
Welcome to the Full-Time Influencer Podcast. I'm your host, Tina Lee, and I'll be sharing industry knowledge and social media tips through weekly interviews with established creators and Q&A sessions. Our goal is to help you decode social media, become a full-time influencer, and do what you love for a living. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Full-Time Influencer Podcast. Today's episode comes a few months after a break, and we are in a very special location. I'm here with Mark. Mark is a travel creator, and we are actually on a cruise right now, a Royal Caribbean cruise to be exact. We are here together on a press trip, and it's been really, really epic. It's our last day, so I took this opportunity to grab a few people and interview them to talk about their creator journey. So thank you so much for being here and taking the time to come chat.
Easy. Thanks a lot for having me. We're on the cruise anyways, so to come and chat with you is awesome.
So yesterday I was just kind of getting the backstory of how you got to where you are now, which is actually very interesting. So can I sum it up for everybody and then you can help fill in some details that I missed?
Go right ahead. Sum it up.
Yeah. So from my understanding, you and Jordan, who's Jordan Tuali, he's also a really cool travel adventure personality. And you guys knew each other pre-Instagram back in like 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you saw what he was doing, like trying to grow and was like, oh, this is interesting. And when you first made an accidental viral post in 2014, that's when you saw that there was a like money opportunity here where people wanted to license your video, and that turned into I think you said 10 or 15K over just a few weeks mm-hmm. of people wanting to license your video. Mm-hmm. So then you decided to dive into it, try to grow, and it really started to take off with some rooftoping photos. And then from there, it just transitioned into adventure travels. And now it's a full-time job.
Exactly. Well, right. Well, like good synopsis.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the summary of basically how you got to where you are today. But I think there's probably a lot in between that you learned, and you had a lot of skills that you had to also learn along the way in order to get here. Right. Mm. So I thought we could dive into that a little bit. And then at the end, I would love to also chat a bit more about monetization, just thinking about how to charge or how to value yourself as a creator, and also some of the lifestyle parts, because there's some pretty interesting lifestyle aspects to traveling full time. So first question is, do you actually do this completely full time, or do you have a home base right now?
I used to be a high school teacher in China at a Canadian school. Now the last year I did that was 2017, and then I quit that June 2017, and then I haven't had a home since.
Oh wow.
So it's about 6 years now.
Wow.
Full time with no base, no home. And I don't even know where I spend the most time. It's just wherever the next destination is, really.
That's a really cool lifestyle. And your family is from Toronto?
Yeah.
You're from
family,
Toronto?
Yep, Canadian.
Okay, yes. Yep. You and Jordan are the only two people that I know of that have like a completely full-time, no home-based lifestyle, which is really cool. Do you find that that's really hard to balance and plan in terms of travels and also where you're gonna stay? Have you ever been like stranded somewhere?
So I have no cool stranded stories. However, I say the only downside to it is crossing like long board, like time zones. Like if you go west or east in the world and you're like 10 hours jet lagged, it can be super taxing on your body to try and maintain a sleep pattern. Jordan's better at me than this. He can just sleep anywhere. He just turns off and he's asleep. Yeah. So that's the major downside, is I would like to base somewhere, recharge somewhere, but I can't complain. So I just keep doing it.
For some context, you're currently around 36 years old. Mm-hmm. So we're roughly the same age, 1987.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. March? Same age. I'm November.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm a bit younger. But I think that maybe this is more like the time where you have to start thinking about like, where is my next home base?
Exactly.
And how am I going to settle down? Especially because now you have a girlfriend, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's also something really interesting I wanted to chat about. Perhaps later. But sure. First, I want to kind of like go back to when you were trying to grow Instagram, because a lot of this is very helpful for our listeners, is when did you start to take it really seriously? And were there different stages of growth? And what did that look like?
Yep. So after the viral video, I made all that money, realized I can actually travel for a living. Like, this is a possibility.
Yeah.
I saw people doing it already. I was like, I have no reason that I can't make this happen. So it was the mindset switch of, what do I need to do to make this happen? It's grow my social media, make myself a presence online, that there will be eyeballs looking at what I'm doing, and therefore the money will come later. So I made the intention of saying, yes, I want to grow. Because I've talked to a lot of people and they're like, oh, I'll post and it'd be nice if I get followers.
Yes.
But it's that real switch saying, you know what, I want to make this happen. And that's when things start to actually grow. It doesn't just happen by chance, even though it did this one video happen by chance. Yeah. It's not like they're just gonna keep happening by chance. Like, I still haven't had a video that viral and make me that much money since 9 years ago. And now I'm trying to do it full time. So
for the people who are listening, what video is this?
Okay, like, so I'm in China. I'm in China, and the mountain is called Huashan, and it's 7,000 feet in the air. And typically, if you type in the most dangerous hike in the world, it'll come up. I know there's many things like that now, but it's maybe a 1 to 2 foot wide plank, 7,000 meters up on a cliffside, and it was built 600 years ago for a monks to climb across and pray on the side of the mountain. And then in the last 20 years, they put on a harness. And tourists can now do it. And then I went at the end of the day, the security guard walked away, it was over. I took my harness off and walked across, and the internet went wild. And it was early on, so I hadn't seen things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Question though, when you say they went wild, was it more like, oh my God, wow, that's epic? Or was it more like, that is so stupid,
good question. Dangerous? Three reactions.
Yeah.
That is so stupid, I hope you fall and die.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, really aggressive. Two, that's amazing, I wanna do it. And then three, my palms are sweaty. I can't believe you did that. That's so insane. So it's like literally 33% of each of those comments.
Yes, yes.
It's so funny how they're only one of those three comments.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds very much like the type of comments that all rooftoppers get.
Yes, exactly.
That's just the standard three types of comments.
Yeah.
And so from there, once you made that decision to be like, okay, I want to grow, how did you decide on like what skills you need to learn? Or did you already know photography? And then did you have to decide on a particular niche?
Right. So I started traveling in 2012, backpacked for an entire year, then ran out of money. So then I had to work naturally. And I love just all sorts of adventure and climbing and mountains. And since I was living in Shanghai, the city, and there was amazing rooftops, and that was sort of when rooftopping was trending, then I was like, this is super fun. I want to do this. And I just did things I loved and things that had wow factor, I thought in my mind. So that's what I did. So the transition from rooftopping into just more nature adventure was seamless as I just traveled to various places. So
When did you make the switch from rooftopping to like nature and adventure travel?
So when I lived in the city teaching, that's when I did all the stuff on the weekends. And you asked me before, when did I start to learn how to document and create?
Yeah.
I sort of just learned it as I wanted to capture what I was doing. So as I'm like, hey, how do I shoot things at night? Long exposure, type it into YouTube. How do I make a long exposure?
YouTube University.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Peter McKinnon was really trending at that 2016, 2017.
That's right.
So I would wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning, every single morning before class started. I would learn for probably an hour to 2 hours, Lightroom, watching tutorials, and then I would go to work.
Wow.
I was just so focused on making this a real thing.
Yes.
So I went really hard like that. Now I don't wake up that early anymore, but back when I was really focused on making this happen, I would wake up really early every day.
Who else was there on your list that you saw and you're like, oh, if they can do it, maybe I can too?
It was, of course, Sam Calder.
Yes.
He's from Toronto.
Yes.
Right where I'm from. And in 2017, he was visiting Shanghai.
Oh.
And I had met one of his friends who's also from Toronto. And he'd mentioned he was coming, or I saw his story or something. I said, hey, no way, you guys are coming. Let me show you around some of my favorite spots in Shanghai. And they're all there only for a weekend, and I've been living there. So that's the best thing you can do as a traveler is visit someone local.
Yes, yes.
So then I took them to all of my favorite spots, met Sam, we got some amazing footage together, and that was so inspiring for me to watch him do his thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then for us to just be in the same vicinity, and I didn't push being like, hey, post me in stories. Yeah. I just said, you know, to be very chill, very relaxed. And now we've hung out many times in Bali, we've hung out in Dubai. Like we're on friend first name basis now, so it's because I was just very relaxed and not like, what can I get out of this?
Yeah.
So it was good.
Actually, I love that. That's a fantastic like tip, if you will. Mm-hmm. Not that you sort of did it purposely. You just were just nice and wanted to show them around and you were being natural. But I think a lot of people ask like, oh, how do you network with other people? And because like I always emphasize that having a network of creators and being present in other people's content can really make a difference for influencers, creators. And so one of the greatest ways is just to provide some sort of value to them, whether it's like to show them around to unique places that they don't have access to, or if it's just to save them some time while seeing the city, whether you have like transportation, you could offer them transportation.
Absolutely.
You know, it may seem like minor things or like you're just doing some small tasks, but nonetheless, just be genuine and just offer something that could help them. And I think most people are very grateful and really nice about it.
I have a great example of when I was in Dubai last year. I had two people reach out to me. One saying, oh, I'm brand new to Dubai. I know nothing about this place. Can you show me around? And I was like, okay. And then the second message was, hey, I have an amazing secret spot in the desert. It's a ghost town. I'll pick you up in the morning. What type of coffee do you like from Tim Hortons?
Wow.
Knowing that I'm Canadian. So he'd spent an extra 5 minutes knowing that I'm Canadian, knowing that I drink coffee, and he was going to tour me around. So obviously the answer is simple. Which one did I go with? I went with this guy. And of course, I was shooting YouTube video, and now he was in my YouTube video. He probably got like a minute in my YouTube video just because he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he's at now, or if he's aspiring to be a full-time creator, but regardless, is he did it the right way.
Yes, yes.
And it was just the right way of messaging someone. He provided me with so much value. He picked me up. He drove me. It was amazing. So
It was cool. So smart, actually. Yeah. And also, I know that often people just do that also because, you know, you've provided so much value to your audience over time. And then they just appreciate that. And they just want to do this as a gesture too. Mm. Like, you know, maybe they want to make it as a creative. Maybe they don't. Mm-hmm. And it's always really nice to be able to connect with people around the world because of that. You mentioned your YouTube. Actually, I know you more from Instagram. Mm-hmm. What is your spread of audience like?
Right. So it's been a bit of a journey throughout the platforms, let's say, as each platform has sort of worked it in its way for me. So initially Instagram. And then I pushed really hard on Instagram. But then 2017, I was big on making tutorials for YouTube. Once I learned how to make what I was doing, learned how to do what I was doing. 2017, 2018, I started getting into the tutorial game a little bit with travel. 2019, long form travel videos started doing really well for me. So the tutorials, I sort of took a break.
I see. So what type of tutorials, like photography?
Yeah, photography, videography, like kind of like tips, kind of like Cameron McKinnon style, just because I was watching his stuff, got inspired by it. And I was like, I can create this. They were not really doing so well, but I was creating them for YouTube. Then 2019, travel videos. And I had them pretty much all go viral, million to 500,000 for all long form YouTube. And I was like, wow, this is great. My YouTube is doing super well, started to get sponsors, and then COVID hit. This is my YouTube journey I'm talking about here. So
then can you describe the types that were going viral for you? Like what type of topics?
Just 10 days in Turkey, 1 week in the Balkans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, simple.
Not like super clickbaity, not crazy.
No, people want to see high quality, but good adventures,
yes,
adventurous things, not just like what you'd see top 10 TripAdvisor, like really going out there and going some decent adventures. So I was mixing and rooftopping in Turkey.
Oh.
I was going, we're pushing the limits a little bit.
So you were doing some fun things with energetic personality and all that. Yeah.
But high quality cinematics as well. This was 2019, doing really well. COVID hits and then travel stops.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what am I going to do during COVID? I started making how to edit travel videos in Final Cut Pro. Very niche. Very specific. And there was nobody who made that. So I was getting crazy numbers on my Final Cut Pro tutorials. And I made a bunch of them throughout COVID and is doing super well. But then after COVID was sort of winding down, I'm like, okay, I want to get back to travel videos. And then my long form views died. Mm. It's like I was the Final Cut Pro tutorial guy. And that's where the algorithm was. And I'm like trying to get back into this travel space and nothing. I'm still struggling with the switch. I'm having the slow switch. I feel like I'm starting to gain it back now, but the switch is slow. That's when TikTok entered during COVID, and TikTok's been doing really, really well for me.
Yeah.
So that's my number one platform. I'm at almost 1.2 million now there. And that's where I'm getting all my business as well.
Yeah.
So it's like Instagram's just been the steady, safe, but not much growth. Little basic growth, but then TikTok and then YouTube like this.
Yeah, so it's been all over. That's so interesting. But you mean YouTube long form? What about long form. Shorts? Do you see success coming from TikTok to shorts?
Not really.
Oh, not interesting.
Really. Some are doing well, but not really.
Interesting. Because I think everyone has quite a different experience. Mm-hmm. I have not been diligent on reposting shorts, so I can't say for sure about that. But like, for example, Jordan had huge success just posting it on all platforms.
Yeah.
But it does seem like for him, like Reels grew the slowest out of the mm-hmm. three mm-hmm. when he's reposting all the same content to all three. But you know, either way, like you have it, you may as well post it.
Exactly.
So speaking of like how these different types of content work on each platform, you said that Instagram was always like a stable thing for you. Did that change when Reels came along? Because at first you were very heavy on photos and that obviously worked well. So did things change a lot with Reels?
Not really. Like it had, I know it's changed for a lot of people, and I've had a few viral Reels, which has helped growth, but it's just kind of stayed steady.
Interesting.
Stayed steady. Yeah. There's what's been nice is that there was probably a year I didn't grow at all on Instagram. So then Reels have sort of made that go into uptick again. So that's nice. But it's really just TikTok has been parabolic.
Yeah.
And then YouTube has been declining somewhat. And then with Shorts, I think that'll turn around a bit. Once I have a lot of long forms in the storage unit ready to post.
Yeah.
So though, I think that'll start to do well again.
Yeah.
It's just me getting out of, I think the algorithm has me locked into that tutorial guy.
Yeah.
So once I am sort of those videos die off, then I'll get back into travel and it's going well. My last Oman video is almost at 100K. That's long form. So,
yeah. Okay. What about the switch from photo to video? Because you were mostly, you know, we were all doing mostly photo if we were focused on Instagram.
Yep.
Did you find it hard at first to create engaging videos, or you found that it was actually something that was to your advantage?
Definitely to my advantage.
Yeah.
Because photos were something I had to learn, whereas I was filming my travels in 2012. I was filming myself skateboarding when I was 12, 13 years old. Wow. So I've always been filming myself. So when it switched to video, I'm like, oh, now I can finally tell a better story. Whereas photos was like, how do I tell a story with a single click?
Yeah.
So it was to my advantage. That's more work, interesting, but to my advantage for sure.
Yeah, that's really great. Because I feel like it's really about like personality and just like your energy, because you have a lot of energy. Although I also see when you crash and your eyes are just like glazed and you're just like staring into space. But on camera presence, you have like amazing presence. Whereas like people like me, like I really have to rehearse and prepare. I'm like I got to prepare 1 hour beforehand. I got to write down every single thing I'm going to do. And then the result comes out good. Mm-hmm. But people never understand that I don't just riff off the top of my head and come up with stuff. So I think you have to understand like where you stand as a person. Like what is your strength? Are you better at preparing and just being meticulous? Or are you just really, you have really good energy, or you have really good camera presence and you want to lean into that too when you're doing that?
But I would say the same. You've found your strength and you've lent into it, because when I saw your stuff for the first time, I went, wow, this is so crisp. The planning must have been really lengthy. The background's perfect. The outfits, the transitions, the color matching, everything. Even my girlfriend was saying, wow, I just love all her images. We looked at the podcast cover. You're like, wow, again, so nice. So definitely not my strength, or not the strength I'm leaning into. I could do it, but it wouldn't come as my strength.
Yeah.
Whereas I rely on me just doing a more adventurous thing that most people wouldn't do.
Yeah.
And then that's where the wow factor or sensation comes in with my strength, I think.
Actually, I wonder too, you said that for YouTube long form, you became known as like the Final Cut Pro tutorial guy, mm-hmm. which is great because mm-hmm. at that time, maybe nobody was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I can totally see you doing tutorials and making it work. However, when I just in the short few days that we've hung out, I feel like just instinctively your strengths are the sort of the physical things you're able to do. Mm-hmm. The adventurous spirit that comes so naturally to you that is so different from other people. Mm-hmm. And very few travelers or humans have that. So like, I find that to be interesting too, now that you're leaning into that and making those like adventurous physical visuals your thing, because then that's really playing into your strengths. Whereas like, pretty much anyone who can explain something in a succinct way could probably make tutorials. Right. And so you'd be competing with a lot of people, but they don't have the physical strength and advantage that you have
right.
when you do all these like really cool adventurous stuff, like jumping over people and into a pool that we just did on this trip. Yeah. So that's really cool to see you lean into that strength. Yeah.
I think the tutorials came from the fact that I was a teacher before. So that's why it was easy for me to teach and see the errors in what was already online. There's such low quality tutorials. So I was like, oh, I can do better than this.
Yes.
But then I didn't want to continue it because I wasn't loving it.
Yes.
I was always wanted to be in the adventure space. So.
Yeah. So main takeaways so far is lean into your natural strengths mm-hmm. as a person with your personality and physical strengths. And then secondly, make sure that when you are choosing a topic to talk about, that you see like, what is missing out there? Yeah. What void can I fill? And that people actually also want to see. Mm-hmm. And then that's a really great way to see some traction.
Yeah, I can add one thing.
Yeah.
Whenever people told me that before, they're like, find what's missing and go and fill it.
Yeah.
And I was like, where do I start?
Yeah, how?
And how do I even know what's missing? My piece of advice I often say is just go in there and start making things that are already being made. You're not gonna make it great. It's not gonna be good at all. But then once you start to get good, then you'll see what's missing because you don't know what's missing until you understand how to make it.
Yes.
Whether that's taking photos, taking videos, tutorials, whatever your niche is, your cooking, doesn't matter what you're doing. Once you start to get as good as those people you aspire to, then you notice what's missing.
Yes, yes.
So that's just get in there. Get
messy. That's great. Yeah. That's a great way to explain why you should just start. Because people often say, like, what's your best advice? You're like, just start. And it sounds so annoying. It's like, okay, but how? Like, what do you even mean?
Yeah.
But what we mean is that once you execute on things, even if it's just experimenting and trying to get better at editing or being on camera, you'll start to realize a lot of the things that are missing or that you're good at. Yeah. And then from there, you can hone in. So that's what we mean when we say, like, just start.
That's right. You don't have to be original right away.
Yes, yes.
Copy people you inspire.
Yeah.
And then it's so funny when people are like, they specialize. The differences are so minute.
Yes.
So subtle. You might not think they're even differences until you're like, finally have gone somewhere with your craft. And then you can dial into your niche. So,
yes, exactly. Yeah. So you don't have to have it all figured out.
Yeah.
Just dive into it and then you'll figure it out. Because almost every single creator that I have spoken to has done that. Nobody who's good at what they do ever started being like, this is exactly what I'm going to do in exactly this style. And I'm going to do this exact phrase and then it's going to be a series and it's going to succeed. It's never like that.
Never.
So yes, don't worry. So speaking of all these different platforms, I'm also curious, is there a platform that works better for you when it comes to monetization though? Because it's one thing to grow a lot. Maybe TikTok is like your top of funnel where like brands discover you. Mm-hmm. But do you find that when it comes to brand deals, is there more request in any of the platforms?
This year, TikTok has been 80%.
Wow.
So I've always said that TikTok audience is like just whatever, there for a good time scrolling. It's the views are all over the place. And while that's still true, and then maybe the audience isn't as valuable as Instagram or definitely not YouTube, like the most valuable audience is YouTube long form.
Yes.
They're all still valuable. And I've seen the most success on TikTok because my videos are doing well there. So during COVID, I was getting lots of requests for ad space in YouTube long form because the views were good.
Yes.
And then typically Instagram's always in there somewhere, part of the package. So success on all.
Yeah, yeah. very interesting because it's always different for every person. Mm-hmm. For me, it's always Instagram. Mm-hmm. That's always the starting point. But what I have noticed is just the fact that I have TikTok, and I don't even post everything on TikTok, which is silly. I should. I just forget. Brands, because they want to boost on TikTok, so they use TikTok as a starting platform. And then they ask me to also repost to Reels, which is where then I charge way more mm-hmm. than I would on TikTok. So mm-hmm. yeah, I do think that just being able to repost on all platforms, increasing the visibility really helps with being discovered by brands and being associated, like being on that platform already is a huge advantage.
Yeah. Definitely.
Speaking of like monetization, do you have currently, is it mostly brand deals that is your main way of monetizing? And do you foresee, you know, venturing into other areas in the future?
So it's been a variety of ways.
Yeah.
YouTube monetization was mostly during COVID.
Was that significant?
Probably 30 to 40% of my income. So it was pretty good there. And now it's part content creation / production, and then mostly brand deals.
Yeah.
So I would still say like 30, 40% is content creation. So if it's a tourism board or any sort of travel company, they'll ask me to make something for their social media. So everything is social media related.
Yeah.
I rarely make things for web or for like some sort of production.
Yeah.
So it's all social media, make something for their social media. Unless it's like a wedding, I've shot two of those in my life.
Oh, wow.
So there's very little of that, but some. Yeah, it's all around brands who are on social media where they want to use it for promotion or for you to create content. So mm-hmm. very, very basic.
Yeah.
So far.
And with the content creation, is it usually in addition to a package of you posting, or like it typically could be completely separate?
Typically a package.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then they just want additional stuff so that they can also post it.
Exactly.
I see. Okay.
Like a package of 40 photos, 2 reels, something they can use. Yeah.
Would you say this is an income that is significantly better than what you did before as a teacher?
Not in the first year, in the first 2 years as I was growing it. The first year I broke even, second year I made a little bit, but each year of the 6 years I've made 25% more than the previous year. Mm. And now I'm making at least double what I make as a high school principal. I was at my last year, so I make double that now. Mm. So yeah, it's not only is it lucrative, but the potential earning is what's exciting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of creators will always tell you their best month they've ever earned. And like, that's my normal. But it's not. But still, the potential to earn is so much higher when you are an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Because you can, there's sort of that gig that might be coming, or everyone has their favorite gig or their best gig, and it's pretty good. Obviously, it's mostly about consistency and go month over month. What are you doing and who you're retaining? What clients are you continuing to work with?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's much more lucrative than
do you have a job. Best month? Is there a typical month of the year?
I have to look. I have all of my budgeting written down, but I don't think so. I think it's summer.
Yeah.
I think it's summer. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for travel, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they probably want to plan. Well, it depends on like when you sign the contract or when you execute on the contract. It could be quite different. Yeah. But yeah, I do think that's when it starts to pick up.
Do you have a best month?
Yes. This month.
This month.
Yeah. Like it was like a dry spell for the first half of the year.
Kind of. Yeah.
And then suddenly just like, everyone's like, we want you to do this. And then like 5 gigs all together, all signed in 1 month. And I was like, wow, this is a 6-figure month. Yeah. But I didn't even execute them all this month. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of crazy how it happens sometimes.
It is wild.
We don't have, in terms of brand deals, we don't have a lot of stability.
That's right.
Like in terms of the overall amount, of course it is more. Mm-hmm. It's better. But it's not predictable when that is coming in.
That's right.
Yeah, we just know that at the end of the year, we're going to be good.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But do you ever have like crises about whether you think this will last? Like, and then you're like, this is the last year. Like, I'm not going to get these gigs in. Would you ever feel that way?
I feel like no matter what you do as an entrepreneur, you always have this doubt in the back of your mind that can you make this last for, an extended period of time? Can it be a 20-year thing or something like that? Every time you have those thoughts when you have a real bad month and you're kind of in a negative, let's say. But I think the difference for me and also Jordan, since we don't have a home, is our expenses are extremely low.
Yeah.
Like we have almost no expenses. We have just sometimes hotels and Airbnb fees, food, and that's it. Most of the times, if we're doing a lot of gigs, they're paying for flights.
Yeah.
And they're paying for our travel. So when we're doing our own travel, yeah, we might hit around $3,000 a month on flight expenditures. And that's on like a higher month.
Yeah.
So most months is less than that because we don't pay rent and we're kind of just bouncing around. So when we have bad months, it's not actually that scary. We don't have a lot of people to pay. Like we have editors, but we pay them per piece that they make. But they're not on monthly salaries. So having low expenses means low stress.
Yeah. So. Where do you find these editors that work for you?
So I just put it on my Instagram saying, anybody want to edit? And then I got one. Oh, took a while to find.
Yeah.
I went through six.
Oh, wow.
Six. And then the sixth one was really great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. I think there's this issue with a lot of people trying to find editors, and it's always hard to find someone who thinks similar to the way that you do. It's not necessarily that anyone is bad or anything, but it's just when you think differently creatively, then it's very hard to make it work, especially the communication part.
For sure.
Yeah. So when you said the earning potential is exciting, do you have plans to, in terms of like how you want to expand it? Do you plan to create new revenue streams? Will it be affiliate links, or will it be like a product? Or do you want to scale your audience so that you can charge more?
A variety of those things. So scaling audience is always great. If you consider yourself in entertainment, which I do, I'm in that entertainment industry, that you're looking to expand an audience just like any media industry would do, radio, TV, anyone. The bigger your audience, the more money you can charge. So that is probably goal number one. Goal number two is product. And right now we have a side company. When I say we, I mean Jordan and I, called Adventure More. And we put on trips. We curate trips, not only just like cookie cutter trips that many travel companies do that are just like, 1 week in Bali, see Ubud, Canggu, and fly out. No, we do like real adventurous stuff that we handpick and design on adventures that we love. So the people that come on our trips are quite adventurous. So they're unique trips. So if we're looking for product to scale product, we might want to scale that particular one. So right now we do two trips a year, but then if we were to remove ourselves from that and just design but not lead, then that could be a product we could develop. That's one area. As for like clothing and merch, that's not necessarily something I'm looking at yet.
Yeah.
But it's an avenue that could be explored later, maybe.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. So you're essentially thinking like how we are doing this ourselves, creating an itinerary, and then it can eventually become like a travel agency thing, almost like a tour guide agency situation, but specifically for unique destinations and unique packages, like lesser travel places. That's definitely interesting. I have a friend, Sarah Funky. She has a New York YouTube channel, and she started a tour guide company just for New York. And in the beginning, she was doing a lot of the tours and her husband doing them themselves. And then now she has hired tour guides to do them all. And she just owns the agency.
Amazing.
And it's a pretty great business for her. And she still does a lot of brand deals, and she has ad revenue and all of that. So it's working out really, really, really well for her. So yeah.
I feel like you're one step away from that because you have published travel guides and photo travel guides, like photo spots. Yeah, which I just saw. And so if you could potentially even have a person lead that as well, if they didn't want to just follow the digital program.
Right.
Although it is very comprehensive and it's a very extremely easy and intuitive to follow.
Yeah.
But I just came to my mind as your friend is doing. That's pretty cool.
Yes, yes. You know Tim Ferriss, the 4-hour work week? How basically you want to think about like what kind of lifestyle you want and then find the business that fits that 4-hour work week, something like that. I don't remember exactly what the book says. But if I'm thinking about that, I personally realize that I don't want to do agency. I don't want to do physical products. I don't want to do any agency, including like tours. Because human management, I think for me is the hardest part because I'm a bit shy and introverted. I'm also not very good at communicating. And also I feel like certain standards or ideas I think are expected, or I think it's like common sense in some way, but I don't communicate it well.
Right.
And so what I find the best is like high margin digital products, and then also scaling your audience so that you can also just charge more because you have more influence. Or if you don't scale your audience per se or the reach per se, if you just scale your authority, if that's even a word, like if you just increase your authority in an area, then you can also charge more relative to your audience size. Yeah. So I find those are like really good ways to scale your income relative to your effort as a creator, as a person with a personal brand. But that's just my opinion.
That's great. I agree.
2 cents. Okay. Well, I was really also wanting to just wrap this chat up with a little bit of like lifestyle talk, because you did talk about how you were on the go all the time and you didn't have a relationship for 14 years. Sorry to keep saying that. But it was just like a conversation we had on this cruise. And now you recently found a beautiful, beautiful girlfriend, Iris, who's also really talented, insanely talented and really nice too. What I'm curious about is like, how were you even able to like find someone in this situation? Isn't it really, really hard to find someone who can also travel and who understands your lifestyle and the way you make money too?
Yes, it is. It was almost to the point where I gave up.
Oh, really?
Well, 14 years, right? Yeah, well, hard, I mean, right? I guess the whole time I wasn't necessarily looking, but with definitely within the last 5 and 6, I was open to the idea. But I was still like, I'll never find a girl who can be who is able to travel with me and do what I do, unless she's doing the exact same job. Yeah. But we're very leery of having the same job with a partner because we're just seeing a lot of messy relationships regard. And like, I like to be very like impressed by what my partner does and not have them do what I do. And like we can grow from each other from different skill sets. So I was not really looking for a relationship in the same industry. I was very much like, I don't want that. But then of course with that, it's like, okay, well, who am I gonna ever be in a relationship with? And then sure enough, I mean, I was on the apps too and looking, but
that's hard.
It's hard, and you go on a lot of dates and nothing really works, and people are typically in one spot, especially on the apps, they're in one spot. But then I was in Mexico and I went to I typically trained at this acro yoga gym. We just go there and you just train and it's kind of fun. And then sure enough, my to-be girlfriend was there at one of them, and I met her and she has her own online fitness company. And then we've been able to travel for this past 7-8 months now. It's really, really amazing.
So yeah. Incredible.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And also she's super sporty as well, which means she can keep up with what you do in terms of like for even your content. Oh, and she adds to it too.
She totally does. Yeah. She can free dive. She's free dive to like 25 meters deep now. So she can free dive really deep. And we do that together. Like we spent the week in Egypt together just free diving the whole week. So we have a lot of things in common, which is really nice.
Yeah. So if you're a creator and you haven't found someone who has the same lifestyle yet, don't lose hope.
It's possible.
There's hope for you.
It's possible.
Even after 14 years, you can find the right person for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I was really fascinated by your story and also just your lifestyle and your outlook on this life as well, because I feel like people who don't necessarily have one place where they settle down, they have the most unique lifestyle, they have the most optimistic outlook on life and career, and it's just very inspiring. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, Tina. It's been awesome to meet you this week, spend time, get to understand the way you do your business and the way you focus in on your content. It's inspiring for me as well, so thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks again for tuning in to the Full-Time Influencer Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who could benefit from it. And I'll see you in the next one.